Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
We talk about companies in all forms. We talk about the big multinationals, the SMEs, the startups. We always like to see them doing well. But what happens if they're talking in our first language of Irish? What does that mean? Can you make money, be profitable, solvent and sustainable while doing business in Irish? And we have a very interesting panel to discuss that very subject assembled here with me today. So we have Deirdre Ní Tuathail, who is the Managing Director of Clóir Connacht. We also are going to hear here in studio from Darren O'Ruddick, who is the CEO of Gael Coulter. And finally, Deirdre Ní Cuistín, who is the Director General of TG Carr. All of you are very welcome to the show. Darren, you're very welcome along. So that big question I started with, can you make a job? Can you survive? Can you be profitable doing all your business in Irish?
Yeah, I think we've proven that because we were set up, it'll be 22 years this year. Originally, when we'd set up, I kind of had set this up.
And you do language classes, Irish
language? We do Irish language courses. So we would have had 7,500 adult learners of Irish last year, for example. We're the first and only third level Irish language
specialist
institution. And then we also produce books, and we're a private institution as well. So I always say to people, because we're a private institution and we don't get any grant funding from the state, we have to make sure that we are very, very good and that the quality is very, very high. So we place a huge emphasis on that. But it, just in terms of what you're mentioning about being profitable, that we've in the main been profitable for the last 22 years, and because we're not getting grant funding, we have to make sure that you know, to keep an eye on cash flow.
You're not a Gaeltacht business. You're a business that's purely on your own two legs at all times.
Exactly, yes. And we noticed particularly that actually COVID helped us in a lot of ways, because people got used to learning online. So we've probably seen the business kind of, it's probably 2x from before COVID until now. So as I said, we had about 7,500 adult learners last year, so it would have been about 3,000 before
COVID.
Okay,
hold that thought and I'll bring in my other guests. Deirdre Ní Cuistín, who is the Director General of TG Carr, she's also joining us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Great, sorry for that.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. We're just breaking into that. Now, you obviously do, it's a slightly different business, but yes, you do your business through the Irish language and you provide Irish programming and content and all the rest of it. So have you been kind of riding this wave a little bit that Darren talks about there, that just this greater interest and engagement with the language?
Yeah, I suppose the interest and engagement is core to everything TG Carr does. We're 30 years on air this October. But we have noticed, particularly in recent years, possibly because of TG Carr film on Colleen Kuhn that went to the Oscars in 2023, and more recently the NECAP film, there is a greater interest in general in the Irish language. And I suppose the shift in younger generations, there isn't the same, I suppose, hang-ups that might have been there previously towards the language and how it's taught. But I suppose on our day-to-day business, the Irish language is core to everything we do. We deliver Irish language media services for daily Irish speakers, but also people who have some interest in the language and want to kind of gateway to the language. TG Carr provides that for them through entertaining media.
And how interesting is it for you? Because obviously a lot of your suppliers, your customers, your stakeholders are not Irish speakers, or certainly not in their daily lives, but you guys are. So how does that sort of, that kind of interaction work?
Yeah, well, I suppose we work with, I suppose we're publisher broadcasters, so we commission content from the independent production sector. So we are also, I suppose, the biggest supporter of independent productions outside of Dublin and Wicklow. So we have a particular emphasis on the Gaeltacht, supporting jobs in the Gaeltacht and developing the creative sector in the Gaeltacht. So a lot of our companies would be based, for example, in Connemara, where we're based, but we also have companies in Kerry, on Ryan, in Waterford, and we work a lot as well with different companies all over the country. I suppose one of our core remits is to develop creativity and to develop Irish language IP, because we don't produce formats, our international formats. We try to invest in original Irish language IP, and it's core to us that we're giving a gateway for new talent to come to TG Carr. So a lot of I suppose household names would have started with TG Carr, the likes of Hector, who still works with us, Dáithí O'Shea, Gráinne Seoige, Sheila Seoige, but also we see that behind the scenes with directors, producers, that they start a lot of the time with TG Car and then go on to work on other productions. So that's core to what we do. But it's, you know, also that we provide this link for daily Irish speakers who are a core Irish language audience. The reason, I suppose, TG Car was founded initially was to serve the Irish language audience, to serve them content the way they need it, but also to engage people with just a vague interest in the Irish language, that we provide a gateway towards culture, to the language.
And have you had any sort of like pushback over the years about putting content on there that, like the rugby, for example, that isn't, you know, they're not playing in Irish, but you have Irish commentaries. I remember that was kind of controversial when it first came in, but I don't hear that much now. So has that kind of change of direction been positive for you guys?
Yeah, I suppose it's really interesting because we've just released our viewing figures for 2025. And again, we had growth for the fifth consecutive year, growth on our audience viewing share. Our most watched programs are sports, live sports, and all our sporting live programs are 100% in Irish. So it doesn't actually provide a block for viewers. People expect now to see sport on TG Car, and when they don't see sport on TG Car, that's where we get complaints now rather than the language.
Interesting change, definitely.
It is an interesting change, yeah. And, you know, we obviously, initially it was the club championships, we've the leagues, we're a long-running partnership with ladies football since 2001. And ladies football, I suppose, was a very niche, marginal sport until we partnered with them, and now it's mainstream, and it's one of our most, the All-Ireland final is one of our most watched programmes every year. The same was true for rugby. I suppose what people like now is, oh yeah, I recognise that word from school, and they enjoy the kind of TG Cahir, Sue Lell approach to rugby and the innovative, I suppose, production values, like, you know, bringing the mic.
This is TG Cahir with its new empire in Dublin 4. Okay, yeah, that's an interesting idea. Let me bring in the other Deirdre. We have Deirdre Tuhall, who is the director of Chloe Ear Connacht. Good morning or good afternoon to you, Deirdre.
Good afternoon.
Now, you're in the vanishing area, or sorry, the expanding area, should I say, of Irish language publishing. You have a bookshop there in Connemara, founded in the mid-80s. So you've been going a long time. What's the kind of the reason that you've managed to survive all the different waves of Irish being very fashionable, being less fashionable, coming and going? What's been the key to it?
Well, I guess we've gone through all the waves there. The company was originally set up by Miolo Conilla, who was a writer himself. So we just celebrated 40 years in business there last year. I suppose when he set it up initially, there wasn't many opportunities available for Irish language writers to get their work published. There was no Amazon, there was no self-publishing opportunities or anything like that. So he saw a niche in the market. But in general, publishing in Ireland is very reliant on state aid, whether that be Irish language publishing or English publishers. A lot of the English language publishers, they'd be funded by the Arts Council, and the likes of ourselves, we'd be funded by maybe some from the Arts Council at Forest and Gaeilge. So I suppose publishing as an industry, it's very reliant on state aid because it's very hard to compete with the larger UK big publishers. So we found our own niche here for Irish language between like general readers, and we publish material that might be on the curriculum for schools and that. So in general, we've managed to keep going for the last 40 years.
Well, I was going to ask you that the audience that you're selling and getting these books to, I mean, is it growing, shrinking? What's your assessment of who's out there?
It's growing in general. Maybe some of it hasn't filtered out down to us yet in terms of reading, because there's a renewed interest now in Irish language learning. But they're at the stage maybe where they're going to classes. But that should develop in time. You know, once that interest keeps going, it'll develop into reading. You find a lot of maybe younger parents are looking for material for their kids. When the kids start school, they're interested in the Irish. They want to expand their probably the grasp of the language and start with getting books. They want to learn some language themselves, so they'll be able to help them out with their homework and that. So there's always a market there. You know, Irish is a living language where we are. All our employees are fluent Irish language speakers. And just because we publish and service an Irish language market, we're still a business as any other business is.
Yeah, I know. So, and in other words, what you're saying is you can't be too sentimental about this. You've got to survive and pay the bills.
That's it, yeah.
I know reviving the Irish language is a national project, but you can't be getting sucked into that kind of stuff, really. You've got to be there saying, well, what does the next year look like? What are we forecasting? What sales are going to happen? I mean,
well, we're always looking at the market and seeing, you know, what's, first of all, I suppose you have to look at what your, do you have the writers to service these markets? And then you're going to have to pick what you're going to publish for the year and see what your market is going to be for that. And if, like any publishing business, you're going to have hits and misses.
Yeah, and what I find interesting is all three of you, you're probably some of the people I'm talking about, the audience, are going to be taking your classes, Darren. They're going to be watching T.G. Carr and they're going to be buying the books of Deirdre. So, I mean, to bring you back in, Darren, I mean, it's you're all sort of coming out of that same world in a way from different directions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just bring it, taking the Deirdre T.G. Carr's point just about the demographics. So we had courses that started with us this week and I've noticed that the age, the average age is actually lower than what it has been heretofore, and you've seen that younger people don't.
And can you paint a picture of the people who are taking your classes? Who are they? What are they? Just tell me about them.
Yes, I suppose at the complete beginners level, it's amazing. It's like the United Nations. So you have people from all walks of life, and what I've noticed is, before, maybe 10 years ago, you'd have maybe more retired people maybe doing evening classes. And now I'm seeing a lot of people in their 20s. But like one reflection of the confidence that younger people have in the Irish language is there was a referendum held in 2024 in Trinity by the Students' Union. And it was carried by 90% to fund a full-time Irish language officer in Trinity. And if you had said to someone in the 80s that this was going to happen in Trinity in 2024, people would have thought you were mad. But people are actually voting with their feet, and they voted to increase the fees to pay for the Irish language.
And the motivation of your students, is it to use the language after they finish their classes, or is it some kind of call to patriotism or Irish indigenous culture? What is it that's driving them into that class? I know there's obviously a variety of things.
Yes, we've done some research on this with our Mark research, and I think there's a big thing about regret and a sense of loss.
So the schooling maybe didn't go well, and now they want to come back to the subject.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, people feel that, I mean, unfortunately, it's still a case that people learn Irish between the ages of 5 and 18 and still can't actually have a conversation after they leave school. So, you know, when people then do courses with us, we teach very practical Irish, and it's taught in a very enjoyable way, where they will be able to actually have...
Is PEG on the curriculum? I have to ask the question.
No, I think PEG is long gone. So we use the communicative approach, which means then the people, when they're learning Irish, to get loads of opportunities during the classes to actually speak the language.
Okay, let me keep on that same terrain with Deirdre Nicholstein, who is the Director General of TG Car. Have you, obviously you have, but what is your audience research telling you? Who's watching your programming? Who are they?
We'd have a wide range of audiences, but we are particularly focusing on younger audiences. So we have, for example, online content only aimed at under 35s, a platform called Bluck, and also another one for core Irish language audience called Mulchgill. We are seeing, for example, our sports coverage. We're broadcasting a lot of matches live on YouTube, and we see that 50% of those are under 35. So it's partly where the platform where you're publishing content, but also the types of content you're focusing on. So we're ring fencing, for example, some of our commissioning budget this year, particularly for under 35s audiences, to create content that's relevant to them and appeals to them. But generally we'd have a wide range of audience, and particularly for live events, you would see a lot of younger audiences,
I suppose,
as television, you know, older audiences who are watching television more so.
I suppose what's behind my question is maybe an idea that people want to escape the ghettoisation, right? So in other words, are you trying to reach newer communities and people who might be outside Gaeltacht or west of Ireland in particular? So that's, that's a real project of yours.
Well, I suppose, firstly, TG Carr is available across the globe. So we have our player content available on tgcarr.ie. It's unusual that we make our content available globally. And what we see is that we have audiences tuning in from over 50 countries on a regular basis. We had a project, for example, last year for the expo in Osaka, where we brought traditional musicians to Osaka as part of that project, and we have a huge engagement now from Japan watching that program on the TG Carr player. Another way we work, I suppose, is in partnerships with other producers, because our funding is so small and television is expensive to produce, particularly drama. We've worked in partnership with BBC Northern Ireland for a drama series called Craw, which was a huge success last year, and we're about to start season two of that. That drama series has been bought and sold to over 80 countries worldwide. So I suppose
Definitely getting out of the ghetto when you say
well,
it like that.
Yeah, I suppose it's just, I suppose there's the language, you know, language isn't a block for people anymore to access high quality content or drama. I suppose partly because of Netflix, because I think there's over 30 languages available on Netflix, and they've normalized the use of viewing through subtitles. And the most watched series on Netflix, for example, is Squid Games. So for us, what that has meant is that the Irish language, in a way, has been brought into the mainstream because of a global.
And Deirdre, can I ask you a question?
Like Netflix, you know, that it just takes away that kind of.
Sure.
Block that people would have had.
Can I ask
maybe
a question
towards
when,
subtitles and language?
TG Carr began 30 years ago. There was a lot of talk about, well, where does it begin and end, and where does RTE begin and end? And there was obviously that linkage right at the start between the two organisations.
Yeah.
So, and they had a big diet and menu of Irish language programming. Obviously, some of that has come off. But has it been hard to navigate? Well, we're TG Carr, we do the following. You're RTE, you do the following, because there is that overlap idea. Has that all been kind of cleaned up to your satisfaction, or are you still bumping into each other a little bit?
Yeah, well, I suppose we work in partnership with RTE, and they provide an hour programming for TG Carr under the Broadcasting Act. We are an independent organisation. We're independent of RTE since 2007, but we are both public service media, and we have, a duty and a remit to provide public service media content. I suppose TG Carr was founded because there wasn't enough Irish language content on RTE, and I suppose our remit is to deliver to daily Irish speakers and to people who have an Irish language interest. RTE, I suppose, has a wider general remit. They do have an Irish language strategy as well. And really, it's just plurality of content. You know, there's, for example, we see in digital media now that all newspapers, for example, have an Irish language supplement. It's just more choice for audiences, the same way as there's more choice and plurality of media providers in English. I suppose it's that thing of linguistic relativity that all of us have. That languages give you a different perception and different way of thinking. And I suppose that's our motto, Sulele. So how RTE provide content is just another option or another choice for viewers, and it's not really one or the other. It's plurality of content, and it's welcome that there is such diversity and variety of content available for Irish languages and audiences.
Let me bring in my other Deirdre. I said two Deirdres on this, so it always causes a challenge. Deirdre, you're obviously in a different part, but you're, you know, media, books, publishing. It's not a million miles from the other Deirdre's talking about there. Is there new avenues for you to get out there? We've talked about some of that global audience and so on. Is there new places you can go with your publications, or is it very much the audience you would have always had?
No, I guess, I mean, the world is open up to us as well. We publish books for all genres, from young people to whatever genre that people are interested in, really. And people buy books from us from all over the world. We have an online presence, and we get orders from as far away as Japan or anywhere around the world. Really, there isn't many countries really that wouldn't have bought books from us one time or another. And also we hold workshops, and we'd have participants from all over the world on these workshops, because they're accessible now, the fact that some of them are being done online.
Yeah. So, let me just bring Darren in on that. Darren, I mean, that's the great thing of the web. It has sort of, who would have thought, but it has kind of given this new window for the Irish language that wouldn't have been there in the 50s or 60s, where there was that bit of ghettoisation in particular specific Gaeltacht areas. Now you can hold a module or a course and just stream it into China, Japan, Argentina, Brazil, wherever you want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we were very restricted before people got used to learning online. Basically in terms of location. So at one point we had set up 15 different centres in Ireland to try and teach Irish to adults, and that had its own challenges. But now, for example, we've created courses, say, through German, so that you learn Irish through German.
And wow. Also, that just sounds absolutely really difficult.
And there was a huge demand for it, which and we still run it. And we also then run classes at American time zones, so that American. So you have to be very creative about how you do.
And I also see a resurgence in Welsh, in Scots Gaelic, in all these other languages. I mean, does all that sort of help you in the global picture?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, as you said, like the internet, being able to learn anywhere. And we have teachers as well that, like, so for example, last year we'd 90 teachers that taught with us, but they don't have to be like in a room. They can be anywhere. So we have teachers who live in Spain, and actually we had Deirdre from TG Cahir's on the call here, but we had we taught a course for TG Cahir, and the person Oisin was based in Florence in Italy at the time, and he was teaching Irish grammar to TG Cahir from Italy.
Okay, it's getting confusing, acrobatic, isn't it? Hello everyone, welcome our German students, but we'll speak to them in English initially, then into Irish for June. Yeah, it gets a bit, and we're all based out of Berlin or Florence. Okay, listen, let's leave it there. Brilliant to hear all this new work that's going on. We've answered our question definitively. You can make money, stay solvent and sustainable while doing it all through Irish. Thank you very much. Deirdre Nihuhol, who is from Clo Ear Connacht. We have Darren O'Ruddick, who is right here with me in studio in Dublin from Gael Couture, and Deirdre Ní Chuisín, who is the Director General at TG Cahir. Thanks to all of you.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.